Namibia's business leader on Nova 103.5.
The lead story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. In today's lead story, Angie Skoltz caught up with the Presidential Economic Advisor for the Namibian Government and Namibia's Hydrogen Commissioner, James Newpair.
Good evening, James. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us some background. What has been happening?
Greetings from Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, Angie, and thanks very much for having me. Namibia, of course, arrived in Sharm el-Sheikh this weekend, and we really got going to work immediately on Monday and Tuesday. We had quite a few events. We do have a pavilion in Sharm el-Sheikh, so we are showcasing what Namibia is able to do for the 2 weeks. The head of state was here on Monday and Tuesday, and so he participated in various meetings. And on Tuesday, of course, the national address was delivered. And then, of course, the various bilateral and multilateral agreements were then presented to the world from the Namibian Pavilion, which, of course, was extremely honored to host world leaders, including the president of the European Investment Bank. The president of the European Commission herself came, the prime minister of Belgium, and many other dignitaries that all came to the Namibian Pavilion as a show of support for the ambition of this government to become a synthetic fuels hub on the continent and on the global space.
What do we aim to get from this conference in the bigger picture now that we are entering the renewable energy market?
The main idea from this conference was to place Namibia solidly on the map as a serious player that has a credible ambition to produce and provide molecules, green molecules, sustainable synthetic fuels to a global market that is extremely hungry for these products, given the energy insecurity caused by various wars and the ensuing surging prices. And of course, the desire to combat climate change. A lot of the developed nations came to this conference looking to send a strong message to emerging markets and developing nations to say, if you can use your natural resources to make this product, we will buy it. If you need some assistance from a financial perspective to deliver this product, to build the infrastructure, we would love to help you, to backstop you, and to provide concessionary affordable financing so that you can actually go ahead and do that. And that was the main message really at that pavilion. Ursula von der Leyen even tweeted about it yesterday, saying they envision a win-win partnership, Namibia producing these molecules, Europe buying these molecules, and of course that results in us inching ever closer to the Vision 2030 that this government had essentially articulated back in 2004.
Besides the European Union, have any key relationships already been established? And if so, with whom at the conference?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of countries individually that came to the pavilion as well. If you remember, Angie, Germany has pledged to invest in Namibia and to offtake the products, right? So the German vice chancellor is coming to Namibia on the 4th and the 5th of December with a plane full of 100 strong delegation to start talking to Namibian businesses about offtaking this product. So Germany itself was represented at the pavilion by their climate envoy. The Netherlands themselves were personally there as well. The president met Prime Minister Rutte, and their climate envoy came to the pavilion to pledge the $43 million in grant funding as well. The Belgian Prime Minister was there too. They're obviously supporting the CMB project in Namibia, which has, of course, entered into a partnership with ONL to form Cleanergy. And of course, right throughout the 2 weeks, we are receiving interest from the United States, interest even from Japan. For example, next week, Tuesday, actually slated to speak at a session with the United States Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, together with the Vice President from the EU Commission, Frans Timmermans. So the support for Namibia's ambition is global in nature, all the way from the East in Japan to Europe, all the way to the West in the United States. It comes in various different forms and formats. As you know, Namibia has already signed an MOU with the Japanese through the Japan Oil and Gas Metals Exploration Company, JOGMEC. And of course, we are in some very good conversations with the United States as well. So quite a varied portfolio of countries that want to support Namibia on its journey.
Then which countries attending the COP27 can we learn from and leverage from the most?
So, you know, there's quite an interesting dichotomy, right? So there is the developed nations that have to pledge the support, and there's the developing nations that, of course, are seeking that support. If I looked at the developing nations, I think Kenya, for example, is a fantastic example as well. Their President Ruto just signed an agreement with the British as well to mobilize billions of Kenya shillings to support that nation to deliver on almost 30 gigawatts of renewable energy, be they hydro, wind, or even geothermal, which Kenya is very uniquely blessed with. At the same time, I think from the developed nations perspective, I think it's extremely hard to beat the commitment from the European Union member states in general. I think they're the ones, if I'm honest, that I can see moving very aggressively to support developing nations. Of course, they're the ones that are significantly affected by the conflict in Ukraine and the shortage of natural gas that resulted from that conflict. But the United States is not far behind. Through their various agencies, they too are actually obviously providing a lot of support. The one thing that I would say is countries is one thing, but the international financing institutions and multilateral development banks are the other parties that Namibians should keep an eye on, the World Bank, the Green Climate Fund, and their peers, right? They're also here, AFDB, for example. They're also here in their numbers, providing support in one way or another to countries like Namibia.
James, just a final question. We still have a couple of days. What can we expect from COP27?
I think some of the work that we're doing in COP27 is we're working very hard to try and finalize that negotiation with Hyphen. You know, we hope to come away from here with a much more solid and robust footing to get that particular deal over the line and across the signature so that the work can start next year. There are some more conversations with various institutions around the world, be they the International Maritime Organization, some of those multilateral development banks that want to pledge their support as well. So something more concrete might be able to come from those conversations as well. But you know, Angie, we have now unlocked a lot. The key thing now is really to implement and for the Namibian people to take that bull by the horn and actually start building and actually start the feasibility studies next year. We've done a lot of planning. We've been very professional about it, but now we have to start building and to start walking the talk. And so that's one of the things we're looking forward to post this conference in Egypt, Sharm el-Sheikh.
Thank you so much, James. It was lovely talking to you.
Always a pleasure, Angie. I look forward to the next one.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
The Business Report. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Novo 103.5.